This is Olympic champion Scott Hamilton. Yes, the real Scott Hamilton. And you're listening to the other Scott Hamilton show, where you should be entertained, informed, and maybe even amused. Just don't expect any backflips. I mean, have you seen him skate?
Opinions, perspectives, facts. This is the Scott Hamilton Show, serving up sports real Southern style. To be a part of the show, call 843-721-9500. That's 843-721-9500. Or connect on Twitter at Scott H Radio. Now, here's Scott Hamilton.
Good morning. It's Friday, 8th day of October, and welcome to the Scott Hamilton Show. And boy, we're off and running. What a night last night. Coastal Carolina just absolutely laying waste to Arkansas State. We had playoff baseball. We had NFL playoff, or NFL football, rather. We had a punter. We had two punts on one snap. I thought it was absolutely captivating. Trent, good morning.
Good morning, Scott. Happy Friday to you, sir.
Happy Friday to you, sir. Are you ready for another weekend?
I'm very excited. Should be a good one.
Well, let's get cracking. How about a green light?
Give me the green light.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm ready to go. Let's have a good time.
Let's go.
What you waiting for? You only got one life.
One life.
And we gon' live it up. So give me the green light.
Give it to me.
Cause I'm ready to go.
The start at the end of the weekend, run it back. NFL football. Carolina's gonna play Philadelphia. 1 o'clock kickoff on Fox. Panthers, 4-point favorites. And Christian McCaffrey, he says he definitely, quote, definitely, that's his word, has a chance to play against the Eagles. Remember, he suffered a hamstring injury week 3 against Houston, missed last week's trip to Dallas. The initial prognosis, well, they said you're going to miss several weeks. Not looking like that now. Those extra 3 days between the win over Houston on a Thursday and the loss at Dallas, well, it helped expedite his recovery. We talked about that here. I said it's huge. Mm-hmm. He does it on a Thursday instead of a Sunday or a Monday.
Absolutely, yeah.
Got that extra day, or extra 3 days, rather. Now, Coach Matt Rhule, still pumping the brakes. He says CMC will remain a game-time decision. Chuba Hubbard had 57 yards on 13 carries against Dallas. It was his first career start. But he's not McCaffrey. McCaffrey's got 201 yards and a touchdown. And has caught 16 passes for 163 yards so far this season. Panthers tied with Tampa for first in the NFC South. Falcons hosting the Jets, sort of. They're across the pond in London, 9:30 kickoff. Both teams 1-3. Falcons 2.5 point favorites. That's a mouthful. Last night, Rams 26, Seahawks 17. Rams now 4-1. Seattle 2-3. And that's the game that had the double punt by Michael Dixon for Seattle.
Crazy. I've never seen anything like it, unless it was, you know, playing rugby.
He punts. It gets blocked. He picks it up. He rolls to his left, and he punts it again, and he pins the Rams at their own 11.
Incredibly smart football decision by him.
Yeah, he kept his head.
Yeah.
And he did it while he was running, and, you know, I guess they should be really good at those sorts of things since all he does is kick. punt.
Punt, right.
But it's legal. Because they thought at first, the announcers thought at first it would be illegal man downfield because the blockers had did their deal. They counted, then they went on to cover the punt. But no. Second kick from behind the line of scrimmage is legal as long as the ball has not crossed the line. So good on him. He's got to be the special teams player of the week, if not the most interesting special teams player of the week.
Yeah, it was funny. Mike Pereira even thought that it was illegal, but they found out, you know, live that it was you know, legal.
What? Because it doesn't really happen.
No, never.
Astros 6, White Sox 1. The opening game of the ALDS, that being the divisional series, game 2 today, 2 o'clock. This was an interesting note. The Rays beat the Red Sox 5-0 in the other opener of the American League divisional series. The Rays used 4 different pitchers, and none of them, not one of those guys, was on the opening day roster.
Oh, wow.
That's cobbling together a staff. Well done on the Rays' part. Game two tonight, 7 o'clock. Game one of the NLDS, Braves-Brewers, 4:30. Listen to it on 94.7, 9:10 a.m. or tune in to TBS. And then game one of Dodgers at Giants, 9:30 tonight, also TBS. Gamecocks got Tennessee this weekend.
Big one. Big one.
Yeah, I think it'll be a pretty competitive game. Vols are 10.5-point favorites, but I think South Carolina is going to hang in there. Still looking for their first SEC win of the season. Lost to Georgia, good team. Lost to Kentucky, good team. And the next one will be the 100th win in the history of South Carolina with regards to play inside the Southeastern Conference. Remember, joined the conference back in 1992. Flip side of that is, well, they've lost 8 straight going back to last year. But it should be a good one if history has taught us anything. 8 of the last 9 games between South Carolina and Tennessee decided by 6 points or less. Clemson's off this weekend.
They need it. They need a reset week.
They do need a reset week. Off this week at Syracuse, a week from tonight, 7 o'clock kickoff ESPN. Coming off that win over Boston College, 19-13. Offense looked better, had more than 400 yards, but still not quite there. Last night, Coastal Carolina, God bless Myrtle Beach State University. Number 15, Chanticleers beat Arkansas State and good old Butch Jones.
Our guys,
52-20. And it started off with a bang. First possession of the game, they hold Arkansas State. Arkansas State punts, pins Coastal on its own 1 yard line. And then our boy, Grayson McCall, steps up, throws a 99-yard touchdown pass to Isaiah Likely. On the second play, they had of the game. First one was a run, didn't go anywhere. Then they said, well, let's just give it to Grayson, let him do what Grayson does. Here's how it sounded.
Second and 10, pin deep to start, a throw over the top from McCall. Off to the races on just their second snap of the day. And Coastal Carolina tight end Isaiah Likely goes 99 yards for a touchdown.
99 yards for a touchdown. Good way to get going. Whew. Mullet Grayson McCall. Mullet McCall.
I saw on Pro Football Focus, they have him as the number 4 quarterback in the country right now, ahead of Bryce Young.
I have that pulled up. It's funny you mentioned that.
Crazy.
Yeah. He's putting in a heck of a season. Again, 18 of 23. Career high, 365 yards. He had 4 touchdowns, no interceptions. And, well, Likely, that guy. He caught all 4 of those touchdowns. He had 8 receptions, and 4 of them were for touchdowns, including that 99-yard monster of a score. Shamari Jones, 113 yards on 10 carries. 294 yards rushing by Coastal Carolina, 685 total yards. That's getting it done. Now 6-0, have won 11 straight. Off this week, massive opportunity here. Bye week coming up, and then they have App.
Yeah.
4-1 App State.
Big one.
Well, the winner likely going to play Louisiana in the Sun Belt Championship. You know, I mentioned Clemson being 3-2. Can still win the ACC, but would that be the best thing for the league? And here's why I'm asking. The chances of making the playoff, not good. And that's according to ESPN's playoff indicator. It's some kind of metric, computer system, crystal ball, whatever. It's got the SEC and the Big Ten having a better chance of sending multiple teams to the playoff than either the ACC or the Pac-12 sending even one. We've talked about that on this very program. And that makes sense, because when you look at the rankings, well, there are runaways at number 1 and 2, Alabama and Georgia. It could be Georgia and Alabama. Nobody would really complain, I think. They're both just so far away from everybody.
Agreed.
The indicator has each at a better than 85% chance of making the playoffs. So that's almost a guarantee, unless a meteorite strikes Tuscaloosa and or Athens, Georgia. The Big Ten. 4 of the top 8 ranked teams in the country play in the Big Ten. Again, talking about a sign of the apocalypse. I can't believe that. Michigan, 34% chance to make it. Ohio State, 31% chance. Iowa, 21%. Penn State, 12% chance. We're going to dive deeper into that in a moment. Cincinnati, 4-0, ranked 5th, beat Notre Dame last week. 32% chance.
Those are good odds.
That's pretty good. By contrast, 4-1 Pitt Panthers, who are playing lights out football, 9% chance. Nine.
Wow. Wow. Is that the highest for ACC competitors right now?
Next best is Clemson at 6% with two losses. Not happening, dude.
No.
Total chaos would have to reign for either to make it. And it's been a wild year.
Yeah.
34 top 25 teams have lost through the first 5 weeks. That's the most ever. But I seriously doubt it can get wild enough for an ACC team to get a playoff invitation. And it's all just another example of why the playoff is going to expand. No matter what you hear, it's going to happen. It's going to happen either in the very near future or when ESPN's contract expires after 2025. And it's only delaying the inevitable if they don't jump soon. Because, you know, there are still hurt feelings about the SEC swiping up Oklahoma and Texas. And, well, we know if we expand to four teams or beyond four teams, that's only going to help the SEC. Wrong. Wrong.
As we're seeing right now this season. Absolutely.
Well, the Big 12 and the Pac-12 need automatic bids.
Right.
And, well, so does the ACC if Clemson doesn't rebound quickly. They're not going to get in. It's not going to happen. You're going to go ahead and have it top-heavy with the SEC and now the Big Ten.
Yeah.
So the idea that the expanded playoff only helps the SEC is total hogwash. If anything, the SEC and now probably also Kevin Warren of the Big Ten, well, they'd be just fine keeping it at four teams. Make it a private party. Keep all the money.
Yeah.
So anybody that says, oh, well, if we go to 12 teams or we go to eight teams, that's just going to allow the SEC to get more in. No, it's going to allow everybody else to get a couple in or one in.
Right.
You want to diversify, that's how you do it.
It'd probably be the same amount of SEC teams, maybe one added, you know?
Yeah, I mean, if you're already getting two.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe they get one more. Maybe they only have one and one's in an at-large. Maybe that keeps it keeps them at two.
Yeah, there's always two.
Same with the Big Ten. The Big Ten looking super strong now. I'm really impressed. I'm not a Big Ten fan. You know that, but.
Yep.
And speaking of the Big Ten, we focused last week mainly on the SEC. Well, it's the Big Ten that's going to get a lot of attention this weekend. Here you go. Number 4, Penn State at number 3, Iowa. It's 4 o'clock kickoff on Fox. Hawkeyes, favored by 1.5. I'm loving this game.
Me too. Me too, Scott.
Loving this game. I don't think that it'll hurt Iowa's chances as much in the Big Ten West, but a loss for Penn State could really, really hinder it in the East because they still have Michigan State and Michigan and Ohio State left.
Yeah, you'd fall behind very quickly.
Very, very quickly. Interesting note. Again, it's number 4 versus number 3. The last time the Big Ten had a top 5 matchup, and both teams were in the top 5, 1962.
Wow.
When it didn't include either Michigan or Ohio State.
Wow. That's not too surprising, you know, with the way the Big Ten's been going over the last couple of years, but wow.
Well, you would have thought at one point over the last nearly 30 years that Ohio State and Penn State would have made that happen.
Right, perhaps, at least one week.
Or perhaps Ohio State, Michigan, or Michigan, Penn State, Wisconsin at some point. Has Wisconsin been in the top 5 over the last 30 years? I'm thinking at some point, maybe.
Maybe at some point.
They're incredibly consistent. That is shocking. Here's one that's on my radar. Number 9, Michigan. Speaking about Michigan, 7:30 kickoff ABC. Wolverines, 3-point favorites. Wolverines 5-0. Nebraska 3-3. But I think they're playing their best football since Scott Frost returned home to coach.
I agree. This number, Scott, you know, -3 favoring Michigan, they're begging you to take Michigan here. I feel like this is a potential letdown spot.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. And you have to think that they've each cooled their hot seats that they were on. You know, Harbaugh was on the hot seat.
Right.
He still has Michigan, Penn State, Ohio State left. That's what he's going to be judged upon. I think Frost, as long as they play steady from here on out, he's going to be okay as long as that NCAA mess goes away. We still haven't heard anything about that. Red River Rivalry. I have to say that very slowly.
Yep.
Number 6, Oklahoma. Number 21, Texas. It's a noon kickoff on ABC. Sooners -3. And then SEC again. Georgia, Auburn, Arkansas, Ole Miss. And we're going to ask Peter Burns when he joins us in the second hour. Who he expects to rebound or who he expects to be more traumatized from getting their doors blown off.
Both of them might be traumatized.
Yeah. LSU, Kentucky, Bama, Texas A&M. Most of the ACC has a bye week. They're off. Games are still being played. There's a couple I've got on my radar. We'll dive deeper into it on the other side when Roddy Jones of the ACC Network joins us on the Saitama Guest Hotline for his weekly visit. We'll get his take on the games in the ACC going on this weekend. You're listening to the Scott Hamilton Show. We're just getting started. Saitama, new player in the cryptocurrency space, but already growing by leaps and bounds. $4 million market cap in June, now up to more than $1.4 billion. You need to get a little bit of that action. If you want to learn more, go to SaitamaToken.com. Again, really good stuff from Roddy Jones of the ACC Network. We'll expand on it when we return on the other side. You're listening to The Scott Hamilton Show. We're halfway through the first hour of The Scott Hamilton Show on Friday. Our interview with Roddy Jones of the ACC Network on the Saitama Guest Hotline. Well, you can listen to it again later today on CharlestonSportsRadio.com, Spotify, iTunes, and anywhere you get a podcast. Just search, subscribe to The Scott Hamilton Show. You're asking Roddy this, that, and the other regarding the ACC. And Wake Forest 5-0. And Dave Clawson, he's been there since 2014. He's in his eighth year. Went 3-9, 3-9, winning records ever since, except for a little bit of a hiccup last year, 4-5, but that was all COVID-y. Mm. I give a lot of people passes for last year.
Definitely. Weird.
But they've gone the five straight bowl games for the first time ever at Wake Forest. You talk about a school that has very, 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 very little football history and tradition. And yet they've gone to five straight bowl games. I actually went to the first one. It was the Military Bowl in Annapolis, and they beat Temple. Good Temple team. Coach Matt Rhule.
That's right.
And, well, he had just left, and he had gone to Baylor. And they had I'm trying to remember the guy's name that they had as the interim, and he was wild. That guy was – he looked like Chris Farley.
Really?
Yeah, he's did a good job, though. And then Jeff Collins was there, and now he's at Georgia Tech. But he is a detail-oriented coach. And as Roddy said, it was like tearing down a house. And built it straight back up, and he knew it had to be a complete rebuild. And fortunately, the administration there, low expectations, granted, they afforded him the time to do it. If they win out, which they could happen, that Wake Forest won the ACC in 06.
Right.
Won the Orange Bowl. I mean, goodness gracious, it could happen. But again, the odds are long. The ACC is just a ginormous round robin. Both divisions now. It used to be just the Coastal. Now it's Coastal and Atlantic. I still think they need an alpha. They need a Clemson to be head and shoulders above everybody else. Like Georgia, Alabama right now, head and shoulders above everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
This is a good schedule this week. I mean, it's not as good as last weekend. Last weekend was lights out.
Yeah, crazy.
I'm looking at LSU, Kentucky, Georgia, Auburn. I mean, yeah, the Bulldogs are fantastic, but that's a really old rivalry. I want to say the oldest rivalry in the South, I believe. I have to do my research on that. Let's pick a few games.
Loving the card this week, Scott. Absolutely loving it. Going to start off with a primetime game, Oklahoma versus Texas in the Red River Shootout. Texas is an underdog by 3.5 points, over under 63.5. I haven't trusted Oklahoma all year, Scott, but they found a way every single game to get a win, even though they've been playing, you know, weaker teams. 64% of the public right now is on Texas plus 3.5. I love Texas in this game. I think they'll keep it close. I think Oklahoma could pull it out in the fourth quarter, but this should be a three-point game. I like Texas here and the over 63.5.
I'm taking the over, absolutely, and I am taking Texas also.
There we go.
I think they're surging. Has a little more to play for. Oklahoma, yeah, still undefeated. The Big 12 is presumed last best chance to get in the playoff, but I don't trust them.
I agree. I think that they are due for an upset game, and it might be this one right here, Scott. Next game, going to the SEC, Arkansas at Ole Miss. Ole Miss is favored by 5.5 points, over under 66.5. both these teams are really good running the football. Ole Miss is top 10, Arkansas is top 20, but both of their defenses are some of the worst teams in the country at stopping the run. So this game is going to be on the ground for sure. Matt Corral will let it spin. I love the over 66.5 here, Scott. I think a ton of points are going to be scored. I don't know about the spread. I think that this game is going to be closer than the 5.5. So I'm going to go ahead and take the over 66.5. Oh, and 54% of the public is on Ole Miss 5.5 right now.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that as well. I think they have something to prove after getting just, you know, look, a lot, make no mistake about it, Alabama, way better football team than Ole Miss. Way better football team.
Not even close.
But Ole Miss put itself into some situations where it has absolutely no chance going for all the fourth downs and stuff. You can say, oh, that didn't cost them. Yeah, it cost them.
Definitely.
It cost them.
Momentum and everything.
I will also take the over because they might have 48 points at halftime.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think KJ Jefferson for Arkansas gets back rolling. And like I said, the run game for both teams is going to be very important in this matchup. ACC, Wake Forest at Syracuse. I love this game, first of all. Syracuse is a 6-point underdog, over under 57.5. We've seen a lot of teams go into Syracuse and struggle, Scott. But right now, obviously, Wake Forest is 5-0, and they're playing good football. I'd have liked them to beat Louisville by a little bit more, you know, to solidify that they are one of the best teams in the country at the moment. 68% of the public is on Wake Forest minus 6. I'm going to fade the public here. I think Syracuse keeps it close. Give me Syracuse plus 6.
I disagree. I think everything's still not good up in Syracuse, and I think that Wake Forest, and specifically Coach Dave Clawson, will use the narrow victory over Louisville as motivational fuel.
All right, okay. Yeah.
And that they will cover.
Wake minus 6?
Yep.
Absolutely. All right, big game here. Top 5 matchup. Penn State at Iowa. Iowa favored by minus 1.5. Over-under 41 points here. Both these teams have very good defenses. The offenses struggle on occasion, but Penn State's passing game is a little bit better than Iowa at the moment. However, 59% of the money is on Iowa to cover that minus 1.5. I'm not touching the points here, Scott. I think this is going to be a defensive shootout, just like Wisconsin and Penn State to start the year. So I like the under here, 41. And I don't take unders often. I'm not an under guy. I think you're just cheering for no points. But I like the under here, 41. Two good defenses.
I'll take the under, and I'll take Iowa to cover.
Okay, nice. I like it.
I like that Iowa team, man.
You've been high on them since week one.
I'm high on them. What I saw, and I know Indiana hasn't been the Indiana that we expected it to be, but yeah. I was really impressed. The eye test showed me something with regards to Iowa. So I really like that team.
Yeah, and Iowa's beat. I mean, they beat Iowa State. They beat Maryland and Indiana, and those are better wins than, I in my opinion, than Penn State over Auburn.
Yeah, well, it's more better wins.
Yeah.
More quality wins.
Absolutely. They played more teams. Here we go here. Another SEC game, Georgia at Auburn. Auburn is an underdog by 15.5 points. Over-under is 46.5. In my opinion, Georgia's the best team in the country. That defense is number one in all of the categories. I love Georgia here to cover the 15.5. I don't think this game is going to be close. I think that Georgia defensive line really gets at Bo Nix. And we've seen when Bo Nix is under pressure, that's when he struggles most. Yeah, he can make the miraculous plays every once in a while. But I think that if you consistently pressure this guy, he's not going to be able to do anything. I like Georgia here, minus 15.5.
And what's the over-under again?
46.5.
I'm tempted.
Yeah.
I'm tempted. Yeah. I'm tempted to take the under. I'm going to take the under on that.
Okay,
Georgia to cover and the under.
Go with your guts, Scott. I love it. I love it. Defense is way too good. Going out west for this one, Scott, you know, we got to throw one in there. Stanford at Arizona State. We were talking about this game earlier in the week. Arizona State right now is favored by 13. Over-under is 51.5. Besides the loss to BYU, Arizona State is playing really good football, and so is Stanford. They've beaten UCLA and Colorado, who Colorado played Texas A&M close. You and I are both very high on UCLA, and they're a good football team. 70% of the money right now is on Stanford to cover the 13, and for that reason alone, I'm going to go Arizona State minus 13. I think they, you know, win by 2 touchdowns here. Herm Edwards is fighting right now. I love what the Sun Devils are doing. Give me Arizona State minus 13.
I'm going Stanford to cover.
Stanford to cover. Okay.
I think Arizona State, though, has a tremendous opportunity in front of it because we got some news I believe it was yesterday that Oregon has lost C.J. Verdell, the running back, gone for the year. Lost a defensive back, Bennett Williams, gone for the year. Mm-hmm. I think Arizona State sees a real opportunity laid out in front of it. I'm down with it, man. I'm going Stanford to cover, but I'm still high on Arizona State. They'll get the win.
Scott's rolling with the public there. Last game to pick here, Scott, South Carolina at Tennessee. Like you said, Tennessee favored by 10.5 points. Over-under here is 56.5. Tennessee had a great win last week, 62-24 versus Mizzou. Carolina has shown some promise on defense. However, that offense really needs to start getting clicking. And Tennessee's been playing good football, so you have to go in there ready to roll on offense. So for that reason and that reason alone, I'm going to take the under here, 56.5.
What would constitute a good showing for South Carolina year one under Shane Beamer? Look, these have been close games historically. I think I threw out the stat earlier that 8 of the last 9 against the Volunteers have been decided by 6 points or less. However, we did see Tennessee play outstanding offensive football against Missouri last week. It is on Rocky Top. Still not completely buying into South Carolina. They're not terrible, but they're, you know, I need to see more. Go Vols.
Vols to cover the 10.5.
Vols to cover 10.5.
Love it. And those are our picks for the weekend, folks.
Yeah. Yeah, Vols to cover the 10.5.
I like that.
I just need to see more. And also, before we go, I want to get your take on LSU at Kentucky. Wildcats, -3.
I like the Wildcats cover that. I think LSU's struggling at Orgeron. We've heard rumors that he's lost the locker room. I like Kentucky's hot right now coming off, you know, Florida. I really like them to cover that 3.
I think it could get really ugly. I think 3 points is easy. I mean, it could be a 20-point win.
Yeah. No doubt.
If he has lost the locker room, that could be a 20-point win. Here's another one. Alabama at Texas A&M was supposed to be the game of the year.
Yeah.
A&M's 3-2. Bama, 18-point favorite. I don't think Jimbo is going to get it done as being the first assistant to beat King Nick Saban ever. It's 8 o'clock kickoff on CBS. I like Bama to cover that one probably as well. 18. Mm. How you feel about that? 18.
I mean, Texas A&M has, you know, been a really bad football team over the last couple weeks here, and Alabama is one of the best in the country. I like them to cover that 18.
Even at College Station.
Even though Alabama has gone into, you know, College Station before and struggled, but this team is not struggling. I don't think they can struggle. I like Alabama to cover that.
Okay. Those are our picks. We'll close out the first hour of the Scott Hamilton Show when we return. We're making the final lap. First hour of the Scott Hamilton Show on Friday. Game 2, ALDS, Astros, White Sox, this afternoon, 2 o'clock. Game 2, Rays, Red Sox. 7 p.m. tonight. Game 1 of the National League Division Series, Braves at Brewers, 4:30 p.m. You can listen to it on 94.7, 910 a.m. or tune in on TBS. And then Dodgers-Giants, Game 1 tonight, 9:30 on TBS.
TBS, that's interesting.
Don't forget TBS, TNT, True TV, Headline News, Black Friday, going to broadcast the match, DeChambeau and Koepka.
Here we go.
Yeah. 10:30 tonight. Stanford at number 22, Arizona State. We were just talking about that game. It's on ESPN. And then 10 o'clock tonight to midnight, high school scoreboard show, 98.9.
Great show.
We went over our picks, and those are the mainstream picks. You know, they're mainly ranked on ranked or high-profile games. But there are a few others that I'm paying attention to, not necessarily for betting purposes, but for entertainment purposes. Mm-hmm. I have a nice little list here, and at top of that, number 14, Notre Dame at Virginia Tech. No line, even.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that. Well, Virginia Tech stubbed its toe in that opener against North Carolina, but ever since then, playing pretty good football. And then Notre Dame, of course, coming off that loss to Cincinnati last Saturday that more than likely eliminated the Irish from the college football playoff conversation. So I'm interested in that game. I want to see how they react in Blacksburg. Justin Fuente entered this year on the hot seat. I'm going to go ahead and throw it out there. He was on the hot seat. Now it's lukewarm and looking pretty good.
Yeah, I like the under there, 47. Both these defenses, I believe Virginia Tech is giving up like 15 points a game and Notre Dame's only giving up 23. I think this is going to be a defensive shootout. I like the under here, 47.
Okay. Here's another one. Michigan State, ranked 11th at Rutgers. I keep going back to the Big Ten. I don't know what that's all about.
They're good. They're good right now.
It pains me to say that.
It does. It does.
Yeah, I'm curious about that game. I think Rutgers is going to – Michigan State, 5.5-point favorite. I think Rutgers is a better team than people realize. I know they got beat pretty good last go-around, but mm-hmm. I think we'll learn a lot about the physicality of Michigan State because of the physicality of Rutgers. I can't wait to see how they match up. I think that could be a really good game. I would definitely take the under in that game no matter what it is.
Absolutely, yeah. Rutgers, I think they've hit unders the last like two or three games just because of their physicality. So I do like Rutgers. I like the under there, yeah.
I'm going to look that up. Do you have another one?
Yeah, I do. Interesting one right here. East Carolina at UCF. UCF is favored by 10 points. East Carolina's won their last three games. Good wins, Tulane and Marshall. UCF has lost their last two games to Navy and Louisville. 54% of the public right now is on UCF minus 10. I love East Carolina here. They played South Carolina close, so I like East Carolina to cover a plus 10 here.
Over under for that Michigan State Rutgers game, 51. I'm taking the under on that.
Definitely.
Yeah. UCF, we forget UCF, it's won really well. It was its opening loss against Louisville. It was on that pick six.
Mm-hmm.
And then, that was the game they lost Dylan Gabriel for the quarterback. Yeah, I would go with East Carolina. East Carolina played the Gamecocks hard.
Yeah, they did.
Which,
very hard.
You know, it's not like playing Bama hard, but still, that's an SEC team coming into the Emerald City, Greenville, North Carolina. Take East Carolina there. Here you go. Are you ready? I'm going to blow you away with this one.
Here we go.
I already mentioned it to Roddy Jones, our friend from the ACC Network. I hope you're prepared. UConn at UMass, 3:30 kickoff. UConn minus 3.5, a combined 0-11. Somebody has presumably going to come away with a win. 0-11. Ineptitude Bowl. Here, will it be that bad? I'm thinking it'll even out and could actually be pretty competitive. They're 0-5, 0-6.
Yeah.
Does that do anything for you? The thought of sitting and watching an 0-5 team versus an 0-6 team, what does that do for you?
Nothing.
Is it the equivalent of two undefeated teams? Because they're even. They're
right.
Even.
Right, yeah. They're on a level playing field here, so... last week, Scott, I took UConn to cover that 15.5 against Vanderbilt, which was interesting. They kept it close there. I like UConn in this game. UMass is one of the worst teams I've ever seen play, so I'm going to roll with the Huskies here.
And yet, the Huskies only a 3.5-point favorite.
That's crazy.
57-point over-under for UConn at UMass.
Love it even more.
Do you really?
Love it even more. Yeah, absolutely. I'm going UConn 3.5. Put it on my card.
Put it on your – okay, put that down. Put that down on your picks for this week.
UConn 3.5.
You are buying into some Huskies. Yeah, UMass is really awful, but UConn is UConn is bad as well. But how is that only 3.5?
I don't know. That's crazy to me. Because UConn, if you're looking at talent, I'm sure they're much better on it than UMass.
That's what you would think.
Can't assume, though.
Isn't UConn 1A and UMass is FCS? Maybe they're 1A now. I just know they're really bad. I know when Ryan McGee at ESPN does his bottom 10 rankings, they're usually number one.
Mm.
And, oh, man. Okay, put me on that one as well.
I got you.
Yeah, I'm going to go UConn to cover.
Let's just keep picking UConn games every week. I think it's fun.
Yeah, fired their coach earlier this year.
That's right.
Or he resigned or retired or whatever, Randy Edsall. I can't believe we're even talking about it. We've given that too much time here. This time's valuable. Well, we got a lot going on. When we return, we're going to explore this weekend's action in the SEC. We're also going to get fantasy football pointers for week 5 in the NFL. Stick around for more of the Scott Hamilton Show. The second hour, Scott Hamilton Show, brought to you by the U.S. Navy's Military Sealift Command. If job security, service to country, and federal civil service employment interest you, consider a seagoing career with the U.S. Navy's Military Sealift Command. You're going to earn a competitive salary and You can apply your skills to a position across a number of departments. Communications, navigation, engineering, supply, even culinary aboard U.S. Navy vessels. You can learn more about these careers by visiting SeaLiftCommand.com or calling 877-JOBS-MSC. Peter Burns of the SEC Network will be joining us in about 12 minutes. Going to make his weekly visit on the Saitama Guest Hotline. Going to get his take on everything going on in the Southeastern Conference. And then later this hour, our friend Jeff Thidoff, fantasy football expert, will be coming aboard, giving us pointers for week 5 in the NFL. Myrtle Beach State University, Coastal Carolina. Man, looked good again last night. 52-20, beat Arkansas State. Ranked 15th in the country, but I'm looking at this college football indicator, predictor. They keep changing the name of it. And the Chanticleers, at 5-0, have a 4% chance of making the playoff. To put this into perspective, 3-2 Clemson has a 6% chance. 4-1 Pittsburgh has a 9% chance. No love, man.
I was going to say, no love for the Chanticleers.
No love.
They're playing good football.
Yeah. They're playing great football, but unfortunately they're in a G5 conference. They're not going to get an automatic bid, which there are no such things as automatic bids. And they don't have enough what they would consider quality games lying ahead. I imagine that being Power 5 opponents. They've only played one this year, and it was Kansas. But they're doing what they have to do. The only close game they had was at Buffalo.
Yeah.
And it'll be a wonderful test when they play App State in a couple weeks. And that's going to be – that will be its season.
Yeah. Definitely. Wednesday night game, everybody's going to be watching.
Everybody.
Awesome.
Everybody. And if they go up there, blow the Mountaineers' doors off.
Yeah.
I think there has to be a conversation.
Oh, definitely. Definitely has to. You have to put them in the top 10, in my opinion.
You know, the argument a few years ago was should there be a second playoff? Should the G5 have their own playoff? And I was totally against it because, look, you don't go to college football wanting to play for the G5 championship. You don't want to play for a championship.
Yeah.
You want to play for the championship.
Right.
And that's what they're doing at Coastal. That's the mindset they have. They can only control what they can control. And if they go out and win every game, then they deserve a look. I'm not saying they go out and beat Georgia. I'm not saying they go out and beat Alabama.
No.
But if they go out and win every game, they deserve to be in a conversation, at least mentioned. The heartbreaking thing is if they come in at like 6th in the rankings, come in at 5th in the rankings.
I think a New Year's Six bowl for them, though, you look at that as a win for
huge.
The season. Yeah, huge.
Huge, huge, huge. That would be significant to say the least. Cincinnati has a 32% chance right now, according to this thing. And I'm not knowing how much stock I'm going to buy this, how much I'm going to invest in it. It's Georgia 87%, Bama 86%. I don't understand the 1% disparity there, but people smarter than me presumably put this together. Oklahoma 48%.
Get out of here.
Too much love for the Sooners, dude.
Too much love. I mean, just look at their schedule. Look at the wins, how close they've all been to mediocre teams.
I think what they're looking at, though, might be games down the road because they still have Texas this weekend.
Yep.
They have Bedlam with Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State, good football team.
Baylor.
Baylor. I presume they have Baylor still left. So maybe that's what they're considering, and that's part of this formula. And then here's number 4. According to this, if the playoffs were to start today, it'd be Georgia 1, Bama 2, Oklahoma 3, Michigan 4.
That is surprising. Very surprising.
And then Cincinnati, Ohio State at 32 and 31% respectively. Iowa 21%, Penn State 12%.
I think Iowa should be higher at the moment.
Think so?
Yeah, I think so. Over Michigan right now. Over Michigan right now. Even though Michigan did play really, really well last week against Wisconsin, they did. Even though Wisconsin, I mean, a bad football team.
Well, I'm thinking Michigan is higher, again, because of future opponents, as they look right now. And that Big Ten East is stronger than the Big Ten West.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
Because who's left in the West? You know, you've got Iowa. Northwestern is having a down year because that's what Northwestern does every other year. Minnesota's been disappointing. Nebraska's coming around, but still – 500 team right now at
best.
Yeah,
struggling.
Who else? Iowa State? That's Big 12.
Yeah, yeah.
Who else is in that Big Ten West? I hate that I can't even think of that. Illinois. I think Illinois is in it. And they're not good at all, even though they beat Nebraska in week one. That tells you, again, how shocked I am by the quality of football in the Big Ten. I don't even know how the divisions are completely broken up. I know in the East, it's Michigan, Michigan State, Penn State, Ohio State. Is Purdue in the West?
I believe Purdue is in the West, yeah, from what I'm looking at right here.
Go ahead and break those down for me. Do you have them up in front of you?
East Division, West Division. Yeah, so West Division in the Big Ten, Iowa, Minnesota, Purdue, Nebraska.
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin and Northwestern, yes, sir.
How did I forget Wisconsin? And then the East, Rutgers is in the East.
Rutgers is in the East, Indiana, Maryland, Michigan State, Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan.
That's a good division, man. Oh,
yeah, right now, and one of the strongest in the country, if not the strongest.
I still think Maryland's a solid team, even though it's stubbed its toe quite a bit here lately. I still think Maryland is a solid team.
Yeah.
And you look at the Big Ten East, you look at the SEC West. Let's think about it. Let's think our way through this right now. There's no Alabama. Presumably, there's no Alabama. But you have Michigan, you have Penn State, 1-2, mm-hmm. and I would say Michigan State, 3, because they are undefeated.
Right.
But I would throw Ohio State in that lump. I'm going to say they're all 4 about even.
Yeah.
Even though on paper, Ohio State is supposed to be the alpha of that bunch. And then who would be after that? Okay, wait, let's think about this. Who's the number 2 team in the SEC West?
SEC West right now.
Is it Bama? Okay, we're going to find out. It's either Arkansas or Ole Miss.
Yeah.
I would think.
Definitely.
And then after that, LSU's going to lose to Kentucky.
Yeah, they are. No doubt.
A&M's going to get humiliated.
Mm-hmm.
Who? Mississippi State?
I mean, they beat A&M, but Mississippi State, like, they're not a good football team either, in my opinion.
So I'm going to say that the Big Ten East is better. I mean, yes. you have the big dog in Bama at the top of it, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say that. I never thought I would utter those words.
No, I 100% agree. The Big Ten East right now is the strongest division in college football.
The worst team in the Big Ten East is better than the worst team in the SEC West. Who would be the worst team in the SEC West right now? If you had to pick, would it be Mississippi State?
I mean, but they just beat Texas A&M, you know?
Exactly.
So is it
A&M by transitive thinking?
I think right now, when you look at that division, it's probably A&M or LSU.
That's shocking.
Yeah. It's probably LSU. LSU is not a good football team.
That is shocking. So we are saying that Rutgers, or it'd be Indiana.
Indiana.
Who's better? Indiana is worse than Rutgers this year.
Yes, right now Indiana is last in the Big Ten East.
So we would say Indiana is on the same plane as LSU. What world are we in?
Yeah, you know, but
it's bizarro world.
Yeah, when you put it like that, it's tough just because LSU is the name brand. You know, you think that they would beat up on an Indiana team, but I don't think they would at the moment.
It's one of those deals where you have to just look at the rosters on paper.
Mm-hmm.
And then you let that decide who's the better team. Are there other factors at play? Look, I'm willing to give LSU a little bit of a pass for the loss at UCLA because the hurricane threw a lynch into their plans. It was going East Coast to West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things involved there. But at the same time, I haven't seen – no one of us have seen much out of LSU since they won the national title.
Oh, nothing at all. I mean, you come from the highest of highs, being one of the greatest offenses college football's ever seen, to a losing season.
And you talk about hot seats. I mean, Coach O.
Oh, he has to be.
The darling of college football not that long ago.
Go Tigers.
Yeah, you have to think, if they don't win, and we looked at their schedule, they only have like one game where I would predict them to be the favorite.
Mm-hmm.
They only have one game left where they would probably win. I think they're looking at, what did we say? They were going to finish 3-something?
Three and nine? 3-9, wow.
4-9?
I mean, if that happens, Scott, Edo's got to go, right? I mean, that's got to be the final straw. You can't hang on for another year.
Well, it would be tolerable if they didn't have all the other stuff. You know, we had the deal at UCLA about the sissy blue and all that and very unbecoming after they lost. Okay, I get that. Mm-hmm. But you've got all that Title IX mess, too, just lingering around, hovering over it, and we're waiting to get more information, more clarity on what's going on with it. It's not good there.
No, and we're hearing out of, you know, LSU media sources that players are beginning to get frustrated with Coach O. So, I mean, once you've lost the locker room, I think that that's a good indication that you might be on your way out.
But wasn't that his main selling point? He's a player's coach?
Yeah, no, exactly.
He is not the coach at Southern Cal, despite the best efforts of that team. They wanted him. When he was the interim, mm-hmm. when Lane Kiffin was canned, they wanted Coach O. The players wanted him to stay and be the coach, and that's how he got the LSU job.
That's right.
They fired Les Miles. They name him the interim, and he manages to do okay. I remember sitting in the studio with Paul Feinbaum right before his first full season at LSU, and we're during a commercial break, and we're actually talking about when's he going to be let go or who the coach is going to be after the season.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, he made it that year. Then he went on to one of the greatest seasons we've ever seen, but that was a perfect storm of circumstances that I think were out of his control, that Les Miles had actually built that roster, that he had these wonderful coordinators. Dave Aranda, Joe Brady wasn't even an offensive coordinator.
Joe Brady, what, passing game coordinator,
yeah.
I believe?
Yeah. Quarterback's coach.
Quarterback's coach, passing game, yeah.
As what, a 30-year-old?
Yeah, and then he gets a, you know, OC job for the Panthers a year later.
And he'll never go back to college, even though they keep whispering that he'll come back. And I think O just had to, you know, sit back and be the Red Bull chugging, weightlifting, crazy, motivational guy that he is and get those guys fired up to play. Because how many guys, and Roddy Jones alluded to it last hour, how many guys drafted? I mean, it seemed like the entire offense was drafted.
A ton, yeah. I mean, Justin Jefferson and Joe Burrow both went in the first round that year.
Randy Moss's kid, for goodness sakes. Thaddeus.
Thaddeus, yeah. He started out at NC State, right?
Yes, he did. Mm. Yes, he did. I thought he was a wonderful football player.
He's a big guy, big tight end. Physical.
But he's that new breed tight end.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, he can run routes. Because there are very few old school, you know, big old husky guy that's going to get thrown at once a game. Most of his job is going to block type tight end.
Right.
You've got that hybrid. You got, well, like we saw it on display last night, Coastal Carolina game.
Yeah.
Yeah, his very first attempt there, he went right to Isaiah Likely, 99 yards.
Right. I mean, when you got guys like Travis Kelce, George Kittle, Kyle Pitts, those kind of guys who are 6'6", 6'7", a little bit leaner than normal, like, yeah, they're not going to put their hand in the ground too much. They will, but they won't want to block a defensive end in the NFL.
Or even roll it back a little more, Greg Olsen.
Yeah.
And he wasn't a giant guy. I engaged Greg Olsen dozens of times. He was not a giant guy, but he was that kind of tight end who was more of a receiver than a blocker. And it used to be, back in the olden days, used to be about 70-30, 70% blocker, 30% passing. Mm-hmm. Then it kind of evened out a little bit. Now it's 10-90, blocking 10% of the time, 90% you're out running a route.
You think a guy like Tony Gonzalez, you know, and I'm blanking on his name. He was in at the Chargers for a long time. Those guys kind of changed the narrative of tight ends.
Antonio Gates.
Oh, Antonio Gates.
And, well, here's the tie that binds. Both played college basketball.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, Jimmy Graham as well.
Jimmy Graham.
Played at Miami.
Played college basketball. So they kind of redefined the position with regards to athleticism. It also helps that the offenses are spreading out the way they did.
Yeah. I was going to say, Greg Olsen, there was nobody that ran that corner route better than Greg Olsen coming off the wing. I mean, unbelievable.
He did a really good job in the booth for the Panthers-Cowboys game.
Absolutely. I loved him. I loved hearing his insight.
Was very impressed. When we return, we're going to explore this weekend's action in the SEC. Peter Burns, SEC Network, he's going to join us on the Saitama Guest Hotline, give us the lay of the land in the Southeastern Conference. You're listening to the Scott Hamilton Show. My kid's 19.
Right.
I don't want to go. I don't want to go. I have no desire to go to Disney World. I could have gone a billion, gazillion times on the cheap, if not on the free, over the last 20 years. I have no desire, dude. I don't ride rides. I don't like crowds.
Yeah.
I
think the only part that you would like about Disney, Scott, is what Peter and I were talking about, the around the world, the countries with all the different beverages and food. That's the coolest part of Disney, in my opinion.
Maybe, because, you know, I do like a lot of different cuisine, but
yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and throw it out there, man. Disney people
Oh yeah,
are like, it's like a cult.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
I know people that do this stuff 5, 6, 7, 10 times. I mean, they go down there constantly. They've got Disney stuff in their houses. They've got Disney trees. I don't get it.
I don't get the excessive people that just are obsessed with the Disney brand. But when you're there, it's just like a, I don't know, you can't not be happy. It's crazy.
I mean, maybe I need to go and find out. I mean, I don't think I'm missing anything. I've thought about it. I have to go to Disney. I used to have to go to Disney about every 6 weeks, and because I had an office there, and I just never had the desire to go. But Peter Burns loved it. Peter Burns joining us on the Saitama guest hotline. Saitama, new player in the cryptocurrency space, but it's already got a market cap of $1.4 billion. They want to get you on board. They want to educate you. They want to teach you about cryptocurrency and what it can do for your future and your family's future. If you want more information, go to SaitamaToken.com. You're listening to the Scott Hamilton Show. You know, DJ Moore.
He's a good receiver, and he has been for the last couple of years.
I've always felt like that, and I'm glad to see that he's getting targeted as much. But, again, it's up to the trigger man, Darnold, to keep throwing it in his direction. Robbie Anderson was more involved against Dallas. We saw more out of him.
He needs to get more involved for that offense.
But there's no reason. I'm still not thinking he's going to take away opportunities from DJ Moore. I mean, DJ Moore, I think, has way, way more upside. We'll clean things up. Call today when we return on the other side. You're listening to the Scott Hamilton Show. Making the final lap. Final hour of the Scott Hamilton Show on Friday. Game 2, American League Divisional Series. Astros-White Sox this afternoon, 2 o'clock. Astros lead 1-0. Game 2, Rays versus Red Sox, 7 p.m. tonight. Tampa has a 1-0 lead. NLDS today. Game 1, Braves at Brewers. First pitch scheduled for 4:30. You can listen to it on 94.7, 910 a.m. or watch it on TBS. And then tonight, 9:30. Also on TBS, Game 1, Dodgers-Giants. College football tonight, 7 o'clock kickoff, Charlotte at Florida International on the CBS Sports Network. 7 o'clock, Temple at Cincinnati on ESPN. And then at 8 o'clock on ESPNU, Morgan State at Howard. And if you stay up late enough, 10:30 kickoff, Stanford at number 22, Arizona State, also on ESPN. 10 o'clock to midnight, high school scoreboard show right here, 98.9 FM. Winding down the show, let's clean things up. Trent, what have we missed?
A couple things here, Scott. We have to get it right out of the way, non-sports related. But after 27 years on the Food Network, the legend Bobby Flay will be stepping down from his role. This is a national tragedy. I'm very upset about this. We need Bobby Flay in some kind of content. You were talking about, you and I were talking before the show, maybe a Netflix series, Anthony Bourdain type thing, maybe YouTube. But sad to see Bobby go from the Food Network.
Yeah. Yeah, I became a real big aficionado of the show Barbecue Brawl, and I liked him in that. He was one of the coaches on that. Rodney Scott right here in Charleston was one of the judges on that show.
And really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a great show, man. But, yeah, Bobby Flay is an institution. I mean, I knew who Bobby Flay was before I ever started really trying to dive into the world of the culinary arts. But, yeah, Netflix, Bobby Flay, watch out.
Yeah, you got to go. Packers have signed Jalen Smith, the linebacker who was cut from the Dallas Cowboys. Good for them because right now Jair Alexander, one of their defensive backs, one of the best defensive backs in the NFL, he is out with an injury, so you're going to need somebody else to maintain that defense. Packers have to stop the run, and I think this is going to be good for them signing Jalen Smith here, Scott.
That's a gift.
Yeah, literally.
I mean,
literally.
That really works out for them. Oh, my God. Get on the pack.
The Packers need it. Well, you know, the Packers did want to sign Stephon Gilmore. Now, obviously, he's a Carolina Panther. But and it was cool, the press conference. You know, he's coming back home. He's from Rock Hill, South Carolina. So, good for Stephon Gilmore. Interesting story here out of the NBA, Scott. 18 former players were charged Thursday with pocketing more than $2.5 million illegally by defrauding the league's health and welfare benefit plan in a three-year scam that authorities said involved claiming fictitious and medical and dental expenses. Not good. Not
wow.
good. Yeah, some former players include Big Baby Davis of the Boston Celtics, one of my favorite players. Yeah, Glenn Davis. He's an interesting character. A couple no-names and then a couple NBA wives as well were all involved in this. But we saw something like this with the NFL a couple months back. Few former players were using the NFL's veteran, like, health and benefits plan to their advantage and defrauding them. So this is interesting here.
I'm trying to figure out. I mean, it's a lot of money. I'm trying to see how it compares to the what was it called, the Varsity Blues scandal with the people trying to get their kids into college.
Yeah,
I had terrible grades. I had good test scores, and I was an athlete. I didn't have a problem getting into college. Is it that difficult?
Oh, nowadays, yes, absolutely. It is incredibly difficult to get into. I mean, your dream school that every kid has, it's a very minimal chance that you will get in unless you have a near-perfect SAT, especially out-of-state schools. You know, it's very difficult.
My problem wasn't getting in. It was staying in.
Yeah.
Dude,
Maintaining.
I had some issues, man. I'm just not going to say I wasn't the best student in the world. I'm going to leave it at that. You can figure it out for yourself.
No problem.
I'm looking forward to this Arkansas-Ole Miss game, man.
But
tonight, Stanford-Arizona State, I really do think Arizona State is a wonderful opportunity laid out in front of it, especially with Oregon taking that loss to Stanford and then Oregon losing its running back and a star defensive back. I think Arizona State and Herm Edwards could be on the verge of something special. Playoff? I don't know. I mean, I'm looking now. I don't see Arizona State anywhere on the playoff indicator. As a matter of fact, Oregon is still the top team on this thing, ESPN playoff predictor. 5% chance for the Fightin' Funyuns, the Ducks.
Yeah, it's interesting. The fall off that they had was relatively quick, coming off a win against Ohio State. And then, you got players getting injured, losing a couple of close games that you shouldn't. I mean, this is a big step for Oregon right now.
Yeah, we'll find out what they... How well they rebound. They're off this week. But Arizona State, good opportunity. That's it for the Scott Hamilton Show on Friday. I'd like to thank our guest, Roddy Jones of the ACC Network, breaking down everything going on in the Atlantic Coast Conference. SEC Network's Peter Burns giving us some insight into what's going on at LSU and perhaps saying that Texas A&M is the worst team in the SEC West. Also, fantasy football expert Jeff Thidoff getting ready for Week 5 in the NFL, giving us all the picks we know for our rosters. All of today's interviews on the Say Tama Guest Hotline will be available later today on charlestonsportsradio.com, Spotify, iTunes, anywhere you get your podcasts. Just search and subscribe to The Scott Hamilton Show. For my producer and sidekick, Trent Corville, I'm Scott Hamilton. Hit me up on Twitter by following @ScottHRadio. Otherwise, have a great weekend. Until Monday, we're out.